Dudes Podcast, episode 13, recorded December 29th, 2014. What's next, 2015? Happy New Year's, gentlemen.
Happy New Year. You're jumping the gun.
It's 2015.
No.
As of the release of this.
Oh, I see.
So we're peering into the future. So
we're glimpsing the future.
You know what? We're also leaving the past.
Okay.
Yes.
And in part of that, I have left Sons of Anarchy. I'm done. I finished it. I can leave it in the past.
Good.
Is it like a weight off your chest and your shoulders and your head?
It really is. You know, it didn't end as bad as that last season was.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the seasons, season four and on, were. It ended in a way I'm like, okay, they wrapped a lot of stuff up. And in fact, they even seem to have a couple nods to the Shield.
Sure.
One in the way the Shield ended.
Okay.
And another in a cameo from...
Oh, Mackie. I knew. Yeah, I knew he was in
so
it.
It's like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. But... otherwise, I'm glad to be done with
it. It's funny because I get the Hollywood Reporter, and they have like this little chart in the beginning, like when it was like who's up and who's down. Mm-hmm. It said Sutter was up because I guess it did really good ratings.
Oh, like, that shows. It's always done really great, but I just think it never could capture the critical praise that it had.
I think it pulled in their highest ratings ever, something like that.
You know, it's funny. Sense. There's a Sons of Anarchy comic. A tie-in comic?
Oh, really?
And it has been a big seller since it started. We've been constantly under-ordering it.
I had no idea.
I never would have expected it to be as popular. I'm like, it's a tie-in comic. I mean, those are never that good.
There's talk of him like doing a prequel, potentially. Probably with like the Clay Morrow character, Ron Pullman. There's also talk of spin-offs for a bit, but I also just read that he's got some new show in the works. Mm-hmm. It's called The Bastard Executioner, which will be like a... King Henry III's right-hand executioner guy gets called back in from retirement to go on some like messed-up quest. It's like him and Kurt Sutter and Brian Grazer.
Okay. Oh,
it's funny. Sons of Anarchy is this one is sort of this pop culture phenomenon that is completely outside my wheel. I've never seen an episode. I've never seen 5 or 10 minutes of it.
Neither have I.
And I've kept wanting to watch it, but then I'd hear so much mixed. And I have people, I have friends who love that
show.
You
would hate it.
You think I would hate it?
I think you would absolutely hate it.
I really
it's
liked
such over the top machismo.
Yeah, I might. I might. Yeah. Like, but. The friends I have who really loved it, I trust their tastes. I'm curious. At some point, it goes in that list of stuff I'm going to check out at some point.
I'd be surprised if your personal taste, you actually still enjoyed it. Oh. The first couple seasons are okay, though. So,
but by the way, I want to say, since we're doing our New Year's podcast, one of my TV resolutions, this is the year I'm going to finally watch Good Wife.
I keep
hearing it's been that gap in my TV knowledge. It was on like every critic's best top ten list of this year.
Yeah,
and this year was a great year for TV.
Continued killing it.
I don't know. I mean, I like it. It's good, but maybe because of it's my personal taste that it got just gimmicky. It's the same, like...
I did hear this year was not its best year.
Yeah, it's like, I think the first two... I mean, I watched the first 2.5-3 seasons.
Okay.
And it was interesting, but there were other things that I thought were just better.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard for me to go back to watch the show because it's 22 episodes, too. It's a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
I mean, and then there are dead episodes in the middle of those where they aren't doing arcs because they have 22 episodes, so they got to do, like, the trial of the week or and that kind of gets...
A lot of filler and crap.
Yeah, a lot of filler and stuff. The characters are written well, and the acting is great, and it makes Chicago look beautiful. But it's just, okay, am I going to watch that or am I going to get into the Nick? Am I going to watch,
I find every time I end up checking out that show, I'm like, oh, it's good. It's well made. It's not engrossing to me.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't have that hook.
That's what I'm thinking may happen with me too, but I'm going to give it a shot. And the other one that I finally did give a shot, and shout out to our good friend Johnny Neal, who watched this and was really, was Broad City.
Broad City.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime. It's 10 episodes and it's so funny. I was writing it off as an also-ran Girls, and I was like, okay, I don't really care about 20-something entitled girls in the city, but these girls are so bad at life, and they're so funny. And Hannibal Buress is a regular on that show. And
oh, so they actually have black people in it.
There are black people in New York.
So that's a step above girls already.
And I love Hannibal Buress, and he's so great here playing like her dentist sort of fling boyfriend.
That's cool.
It's really, really funny.
He's always so awkward when he's trying to act, though. Yeah. It's just like not good.
Oh, no. He's playing sort of a weird dude, and it works to his, let's call it, acting.
Okay. Now, I think I'll check out Broad City. I think if I have to have one, I have to... Wow, there's a couple I need to catch up
2015
on.
Resolutions.
You know what? It's got to be The Shield.
The Shield?
Yeah.
I've never caught up on it, so it's got to be it's either going to be The Shield or Friday Night Lights, because those are the two I've not seen any episodes.
You need to watch Friday Night Lights.
No, I've seen the first two episodes of The Shield, and I liked it.
Yeah,
I would say The Shield first.
Yeah, you'll like The Shield, but man, Friday Night Lights is so good, and you're gonna love it when you watch it. I hate
season two.
Season two doesn't count.
I know everybody. I don't know one person that likes season two. That's like, and I know like the general arc was like the murder or whatever, which is kind of ridiculous.
I wonder how much you'd like season one. I mean,
I'd be curious. I think you'd like it.
Well, you know what?
Greg likes saccharine stories.
I don't, but I like. No, I kind of don't, but I like Kyle Chandler a lot, and I have the personal connection.
It's got County Britain.
Well, you. A mutual friend of ours, Amanda, works for you.
Yeah,
she came to visit once. We went over to the. I took her to the gallery, and we were up there at the gallery. And the woman who was in Fletch, who was on there. Oh,
yeah, Dana Willenickson. Yeah,
she sings. And so she had a.
Are
band.
You going to tell the story again?
Yeah, I'm going to tell the story. Well, anyway, she sings. We went out there. I almost massaged Connie Britton's feet, and Kyle Chandler was a cool guy. And
you love talking about touching her feet.
Oh, my God.
It's weird every time I hear this
because
story.
She's sitting as close. I wish she had. She's just sitting as close as you. I like more like this. As close to me as you are now, like maybe 10 inches apart. Mm-hmm. And when a woman that beautiful puts her feet up, just like, oh.
All right, everybody, our listeners, take a drink. Greg told the Connie Britton story.
It's just,
speaking of which,
it's amazing.
Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves for the 2015 year. I'll start. I'm Grant Davis, and with me,
I'm Gregory J. Amani Smith. That's what the voice I wanted to use when it was the next door. It didn't quite work.
I'm Randy Lander. I have only two names.
And as we said in the title, we are talking about new shows coming up, 2015, new returning shows, just what's on the calendar, what we're looking forward to. But before we get to that, we are going to do a little bit of house cleaning, and that includes iTunes shout-outs. I would like to point out something, guys.
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
We have been doing this how many years?
At least five.
100.
100 years?
Maybe 100 and dog years.
Somewhere between 5 and 100.
Yeah. How many ads have we ever done?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. We've never done an ad.
Not one.
No.
And we like to keep this ad free, guys. And you know what else is remarkable? We don't even ask for viewer donations. We don't ask for money.
No.
But there's one thing you guys can do that really does help us. And that is go to iTunes Store and give us a 5-star rating and write a review. It's actually helping to raise our visibility, and our numbers have been growing since we've changed and added this tactic. So we would like to continue doing that, and if you guys could help us out, that really means a lot to us.
By the way, it's not that we're not going to do advertising. If MailChimp comes to us, we'll go to MailChimp.
We'll go to MailChimp. But we haven't yet, and I think that says something.
Yeah.
It says that we're too lazy to find advertisers.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, but we got some iTunes shout-outs this weekend.
Oh, man.
In fact, these are international ones.
I didn't read this one.
I don't check these out too often.
I got shot. Oh,
you
want to
read that?
The Australian one?
Go ahead and read the Australian one.
Jeez, wow. So, thank you very much, honestly. I mean, it's really cool, because even if I get shot out, I get... You know, shot it down. Even in Australia, it feels great. But this was by G Solid from December 22nd, and he just says, you know, what does the Beerus comic book store owner and musician and milk conspiracists have in common? A ridiculous about of time watching and discussing their beloved TV content. Yes, the musician Greg will spoil everything, but hey, I'm Australian, so by the time it gets here, everyone has spoiled that already. So I love that. G Solid, thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks for the tongue-in-cheek.
Greg's huge in Australia.
I'm huge because, yeah, I do everything on Australian time, so I spoil everything.
You're the spoiler of Australia.
Yes.
All right, and our next one comes from the UK. This is from Don Matrick. He says, best show to listen to if you have no time to follow every single TV series, especially if you're living outside of America. This is how I found out about The Nick. Cheers, guys.
Awesome. Nice. Very good.
Yeah. From Croatia, we got one. This is from our listener, RetroMan81, who says, great TV news / shows podcast. Funny, silly, light humor, dark humor, Grant. Informative, objective, Grant. Yeah. Subjective. And well, this is a love letter to me, yeah. Okay. And this is the only show that still reminds us to drink our milk. Drink your milk, people, especially women. You know, bone density, osteoporosis.
I'm impressed that if this person is from Croatia and can spell osteoporosis, I'm very impressed.
Most people in America cannot spell that.
That must be, they have a better educational system there. Canada.
Wait,
one from Canada we have from Kyle Volte.
Kyle Volte. Okay.
Did he move to Canada?
No, he's been in Canada.
He's always been.
Remember,
Canadian.
He sent us the United States of Doyle.
Oh yeah, no, I'm thinking about another friend of ours who lives in Kentucky. Sorry.
Anyway, he says nobody does it better when it comes to discussions about TV and trends in TV from a viewer's perspective. You'd be hard pressed to find a better podcast than the one by these guys. At once funny and irreverent, yet still passionate and thoughtful, these four presenters from Austin will have you howling with laughter while keeping you abreast of the latest trends in TV. Well worth the time you spend with them. Just don't mention the milk. This milk has got a lot of traction.
I know.
Johnny's milk conspiracy has really grown.
It's living on, Johnny. I'll have to let him know.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's what we got from iTunes. Please, once again, go there. Give us a shout out. It helps out to the show. We also got some questions off of our Facebook page. If you guys go to like us on Facebook and on Twitter, you'll see us put question posts occasionally. First question comes from, hey, it's Kyle Volte again. He says, hey, TV dudes.
Hey.
Breaking Bad was a great program, and it's been copied in Colombia. So what I want to know is, given that we always hear about foreign TV shows being remade in America, what American TV program would you want to see remade in another country? And what country would that be?
That's an excellent question.
Oh, wow. That is a great question.
We already know they've done Law and Order in England.
Yeah.
Which was weird. It was good, but it was just weird because of the intricacy of the English law.
They're all wearing their wigs.
Yeah, which I still don't understand.
And England did, they did Friends as coupling, which was great and better than Friends.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of like, what's the most American show I can think of?
Take Friday Night Lights. Oh. It's got to be hockey.
Oh my God, in Canada. Oh, in Russia? I was thinking Soccer Hooligans in the UK.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, actually. Or like, even if you did something like The Wire, but with like Russian mob in Moscow or something like that, or the Chinese
All
or Chinese mob,
yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, any type of social thing.
Oh, you know what I want? I want the Americans from the other side.
Yes,
CIA operatives gone native in Russia during the Cold War.
There was this this movie I watched during Fantastic Fest a couple of years ago that was it was very similar to The Shield. And the whole plot, but it only took place in the course of an hour for the movie. Very good, actually. Really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was kind of neat seeing I want to say somewhere in South America, maybe Chile?
Yeah.
Argentina? Yeah. But it was really gripping. It was kind of neat to see their take.
I'd love to see American Horror Story, but done in like Germany with like a completely different, you know, like where there's a totally different occult history.
That'd be freaky.
And for the same reasons, I'd like to see Once Upon a Time done with the actual like Grimm's fairy tales over in
Europe. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be cool.
More of an HBO take on it.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's interesting because American, the style of television is just, I think, really uniquely American as opposed to like film, where we copy everything that you know, whatever the film tastemakers in Japan or Europe have done. I don't know, but that's a great question.
That's a really good question. By the way, one last one.
Yeah, okay.
And I've lost it. Never mind.
Next question is from Alejandro Ray Zapata. Mm-hmm. He says, what old TV show from the 90s or before would you want to have on DVD or Blu-ray? I guess that's
They've done a really good job of collecting. Like the ones I would have said is like Profit, Max Headroom, both of which I collected, Space Above and Beyond, all of which I have and have not gotten back to rewatching. I'm trying to think what the big holes in...
Vice would be interesting in HD.
Yeah,
I don't know if it is in HD, but Miami Vice would be interesting because you think about like the visual shots or like the visual nature of the show. Maybe is Twin Peaks in HD?
I don't think so. The thing is, I think a lot of these things weren't shot in HD.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
I just got Cowboy Bebop on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
And it is, it does not fill the full aspect ratio because it was not done that way.
It was never animated that way. Neither you have to crop part of the top and bottom out to letterbox.
I mean, I guess the question is this a thing where, is this a magical question where someone could go back and it'd be Blu-ray? Because I would love Babylon 5 to be in Blu-ray widescreen aspect.
You know what? That you bring up something that's interesting because like a lot of those sci-fi shows for me were shot terribly. That's why I could never get into them.
Yeah,
like and they were like always dark. And if something like that
bump
would
up,
be clear,
enrich the color.
Yeah, it'd be
everything
yeah.
low. Yeah, be,
I would. This is one of the reasons I would like Star Trek to come back to TV. Yeah. Star Trek has never had the production values that it really deserves on television.
You're right.
It's a franchise that
Enterprise
works.
Enterprise wasn't that bad.
Enterprise was okay. I mean, it's been good.
Yeah,
but Star Trek. Star Trek would...
But the stories would also be...
Yeah, stories would have to be better. Right. But I just think the movies don't work so well for Star Trek, the big epic action movie. You know, they're not built for that kind of... They're built for a story... They're built for serial storytelling.
Yeah.
And if you could bring in sort of some of the level of prettiness that they've had in the movies and bring it to, like, TV stories, I think you'd have something that people... That might be, like, a crossover hit.
Yeah.
Our last question actually is Dennis McElwain saying, what returning shows are you champing at the bit to see return after the mid-season break?
That's today's topic.
Boom, boom.
It kind of is.
Is that a segue?
Although that's a continuation. Is that also going to be what we're getting into in the
I mean, we've got new shows and continuations of both. But.
Well, then let's hold off on answering that, and let's jump into the news real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's not a lot of news this week, but what there is interesting. They finally cast... Is it the lead for the new Walking Dead spinoff?
The female lead. And they already have the other dude.
Oh, that's right. They do.
Right.
The lead is Kim Dickens.
I love her.
Who you might know from Gone Girl, where she was great.
I love
from her. From Tremé, where she was great. From
Friday
Lost.
Friday Night Lights, Lost.
Where she was great.
From Deadwood, from where she was great.
Yes. I mean,
she's so excellent.
She has never been anything less than great in anything. And so this vastly increases my interest in the Walking Dead spinoff.
Mm. That along with... I mean, Cliff Curtis, I also
yeah,
really
I like him
Cliff.
Too.
Oh,
yeah.
I love him.
And
him too.
The new leadership under Scott Gimple, I'm
has
hoping
been so
that
good.
He has an eye on the production of the
I feel like he's
spin-off.
Got to at least,
Then I think this bodes well. It'll be interesting to see who they
get. You think Walking Dead might start off being good instead of spending like 3 or 4 seasons making us hate it?
Yes. I mean, I hope.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited about this. Less excited about the casting change for Hannibal.
Mm.
Michael Pitt of Boardwalk Empire has exited as Mason Verger.
Hmm.
And a new actor who I don't really know named Joe Anderson is going to be
in. Oh, is that
in.
The lead guy from Across the Universe?
I think he might be.
We were discussing that off mic.
Yeah, his IMDb listing, that was the only thing I knew him from, and I don't even know if he's a lead guy. But he's going to be fine. And they did end Hannibal season 2 without spoiling something where doesn't really matter if he looks different. In fact, it probably works just fine if he looks different.
Yeah.
But Michael Pitt was so good in that role. And Michael Pitt is an actor I really like, but it seems like he may have some like trouble behind the scenes type stuff.
He seems like he might be an asshole.
Yeah, I get that sense.
Who no one wants to work with.
Yeah, so that's kind of too bad for good for the Hannibal cast.
Right,
they don't have to work for somebody they don't work for somebody they hate.
Yeah.
But bad for us viewers, and that I was kind of digging the performance, and I was glad to hear he's coming back.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the news we got. It's a pretty light week. I mean, it is New Year's week, so.
Did you guys have any thoughts on The Wire? Did you check it out yet? No, I mean the HD version.
Of course. I've been watching it all the time. I'm actually, today is, the day we're taping it is actually season 4, which is the greatest season of television ever. But the thing is, it's like, I actually had to clean off my DVR. I DVR'd it for no reason. I don't know why.
You have HBO Go.
Because I have HBO Go.
Yep.
I've got all the copies on DVD.
And you know you're going to buy it on Blu-ray.
I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray. But the fact that this is the first time in a long time I've actually watched it on a big screen.
Yeah.
I've never watched it on a screen. Because when it was on, I didn't have a big screen television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what you forget about it in watching it in a row is, first of all, like really how all the seasons all make sense, which they do. I mean, even the second season, because they actually start off with the first episode, which is Ebb Tide, kind of showing where everybody was at before they introduced a new character. So when people complain, oh, well, second season has nothing to do with the first season, I'm like, that's bullshit. Watch the first episode of season two. It shows you where McNulty, it starts out with fucking McNulty on the boat. So you know, you know where they are.
It does kind of veer into showing a whole new cast.
But it still shows.
I'm saying in retrospect, it's great to go back.
Yeah.
But initially,
when I watched it when it was out, because they have McNulty on the boat and they have basically Przybylowski explaining the whole thing to his uncle.
But like, where's Kima? Where's
She came in the same episode.
Did she?
Yes, she did. She's a house cat.
I don't know. I'm with Grant on this. I mean, it's great, and I love season two. Right. It's actually one of my favorite seasons, but it was really jarring if you expected more of the same in season one. And it's like, wait, okay, so this is what we're doing in The Wire. It's a totally different thing.
But it was just, you know, it looks great.
That was my bigger question.
Yeah, how to translate
quality. It looks great. I think it looks great. I think some of the shot, you know, some of the ratios they were talking about before, some of the long shots and some of the camera stuff when they would focus in, like, in season two, like, right before, spoiler, right before...
Spoiler.
Sabaka gets killed.
Yeah.
But they do this thing where he's yelling when him and Nikki are at the or talking about the meeting before the Greek.
Yeah.
And they did that thing where they focus on the characters, but like, you know, they kind of zoom in on the characters, but the screen kind of goes like you're against this fence. So they zoom in on the characters, but the fence like gets blurry as you zoom in on the characters during their argument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like little things you didn't really notice really pop out.
See, one of the things I was kind of curious about though is they had all this framed for the 4x3 dimension for TV, and I'm wondering if some of that purposeful cinematography and framing of shots is lost when they have to expand.
I don't feel it, but it's also, you know, I look at the characters so much, and they all look great. And I think something about it being in HD, for me, just intensifies how well the acting was. I mean, even the little things, even the little jokes, like the stuff between Carver and Herc, also because they're outside a lot, and they're constantly doing stuff. Like that scene when he's on top of the car. Where he's screaming at all everybody in season three that shot is a really good shot because you do see more of that courtyard when he's talking about, you know, pounding those guys or whatever. So for me, and noticeably I'm biased, it doesn't bother me, and I just like.
In fact, it sounds like it in a way enhances, which is interesting
me,
to hear.
Yeah,
you know, I can see other purists how they might bother them, but
you're a purist.
But the other great,
if anyone's opinion matters on
But the other great thing about it is like when you have the Twitter feed up, and all the actors like are taking part of the Twitter feed while they're going on.
That's kind
of
cool.
That's really fun. Yeah. And they're showing like Wendell Pierce telling some story
with a hashtag.
Yeah. The Wire HD. And then Wendell Pierce is like talking about like how Snoop hated when they had to dress her up in season three to get on the bike, you know, to do the drive by on the bike.
Yeah.
Dressed up as like more feminine. She hated it. You know, stuff like that. So I love it, and it's funny because right now, and this doesn't get any talk, but you know they're rerunning all of the seasons of Breaking Bad up until New Year's, right?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is like, why, you know, it's like, this is a perfect time to see Wire versus Breaking Bad, if you're that type of person.
The Breaking Bad was always in great quality.
This is a new thing for The Wire.
The biggest hangups I had with The Wire was I didn't like the quality.
No, the quality of it was it was hard to see.
It's just everything was kind of muted and gray and fuzzy.
Yeah, which
it wasn't a pretty show to watch.
Yeah,
as much as it was just like fascinating.
No, it is
character study.
And I that's why kind of with the one of the last questions about you know, which one do you want to see in HD? Like I said about Babylon 5. I mean,
You have it.
Yeah. Or even before.
Don't need anything else anymore.
Yeah, but even before, I remember that was our complaint with BBC until we got BBC HD.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch a lot of stuff because I Orphan Black.
Yeah, I couldn't
Orphan
watch
Black
it.
And it's terrible.
Luther?
And, yeah.
And also, Luther? BBC HD that came on ATTUverse late.
Makes a huge deal. Yeah, it does. Big difference.
But yeah, go watch. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's great.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to take a little quick break, and we'll be back to talk about TV in 2015. I can see the darkness in me, and it's quite amazing. Life and death is no mystery, and I want to taste it. Step aside of my mind, and you'll find curiosity, animosity, high velocity. I can prophesize meditation. Reminisce on my wonder years, and I wonder, yeah. Sentiments of my words ain't been so sincere. It's intimate to my nerve that I just persevere. The big thought of falling off disappear to my faith. They say their heaven's real. Analyze my demise, I say I'm super anxious.
So there is a lot of TV. Well, right now there's not much TV, but there's a lot of TV coming up starting this next week.
Yeah.
Like new shows, returning shows, mid-season shows.
Like get your DVR ready to record.
Clear the DVR of stuff. I finally had to let Sleepy Hollow go.
Yeah, it's sitting there lingering on.
I had nine episodes, and I'm like,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I looked at nine episodes, and I'm like. And nine episodes, nothing else on. I'm not watching it. Time to let it go.
That and Blacklist.
Yeah, Blacklist went off me for last year.
You know what it is for me, and I hate to say it, is Master of Sex. I still haven't seen the last four episodes.
Me neither.
That one I'm going to catch on demand at some point.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to because I keep trying to watch it. I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so I got rid of them. And then Honorable Woman, I had all of them.
Yeah.
And that was hard to watch. I remember the first episode. Yeah. It took me I had to watch it twice.
I think someone's going to have to tell me that Honorable Woman was great, and I must watch TV before I go back to it, because I watched the first episode, and it
was slow.
I'm not too concerned about dropping these shows, because we got a buku.
We got a flood of new TV. So many of these will disappear before you even hear this podcast, probably. Yeah. But the first one up is January 4th. ABC has its new experimental half-hour set in a sort of medieval fantasy land comedy musical called Gallivant.
That's too much.
Everything it's crazy.
Just, it's absurd.
It's okay. It's got Alan Menken, who did Little Mermaid, Aladdin, and Beauty and the Beast. He's a composer. And Glenn Slater, who is the who's the lyricist, who did Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
It's got guest appearances from guys like Ricky Gervais, and I don't remember who else. The main characters I don't really know, but it's about a prince and a princess and you know, trying to find true love and all that kind of stuff. And ABC is really underselling the singing part of it in the promos. Like, I don't think they mentioned it at all.
No, they didn't, because
they're trying to show it as a comedy, but it's a musical.
Really?
And I think, like, the funny thing is, I think, like, were they banking on Into the Woods being a huge, huge hit?
Maybe Into the Woods, along with their pairing this with Once Upon a Time that they already have running.
I don't know. It's a weird show, and I have a feeling there are a few ways it's going to go. Either it's going to be terrible and forgotten quickly,
right?
Or it's going to be great.
Or it's going to be terrible
and forgotten quickly. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be terrible and people are going to love it. And I think that would break my heart more than anything else if it's really terrible and stays on for like three seasons.
Oh, jeez.
But I think it's probably going to be terrible and no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm going to watch it. I'm curious. So I like musicals.
I hate musicals.
Oh,
so do I.
Make me sad. I like hate musicals. How do you name musicals? You're a musician.
You know, it's one of those things like marching bands and musicals. Singing dialogue drives me nuts.
Oh, man. I love my good musical. So I'm going to definitely give this a shot. Next up on ABC, though, on January 6th, is a show I'm very much looking forward to, which is Agent Carter.
I'm mixed on this show.
Ooh,
yeah.
Well, hesitant.
I don't know. I mean, from the trailers I saw, it's not necessarily all that captivating to me.
Yeah.
It's just like her doing spy missions, kind of. And it's like pre-superhero, so it's more like kind of Nazi Hydra propaganda stuff
she's
fighting against.
I have four reasons I'm excited about this show.
Okay.
One is Hayley Atwell.
Uh-huh.
She's great.
She's okay.
Two is the Marvel one-shot where they did her agent that was in this time period that was on the Iron Man 3 DVD? No.
Yeah.
Whatever DVD it was on.
Higher production value.
It was really good. I really liked it. And if they can capture that, I'll be all for it. Three is that I've seen the synopsis of the first episode, and it includes Howard Stark.
Okay.
Played by Dominic Cooper. And Edwin Jarvis, his butler, which I think is super cool, because that's a throwback to the Avengers. They're actually going to introduce Jarvis as a butler in the 50s. I think that makes sense.
Jarvis?
The original Jarvis, who is obviously going to be the guy that
Do you think it's going to be played by, what's his name?
No, I don't think it's Paul Bettany. I think that's probably too big of a get for them to get on TV. But I thought that was a really cool little thing. And fourth is it's Marvel. I mean...
Sure. I don't know. I mean, also, it's a prequel.
Yeah.
And there's no risk factor because we've seen her alive in the future.
Yeah,
that kind
it's true.
Of thing. It's like, I know that she's not going to die.
Yeah,
I know
but
that they're like, anytime they try and put her in danger, I'm just gonna roll my eyes. And I know where we are headed in the future with a lot of things, so
I don't know. I have a feeling this is going to be standalone, interesting, and exciting. The question is whether or not they learned all their lessons from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hopefully. And is it going to be boring?
There was this article, I want to say it was on HitFix. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But it was this stupid article that was talking about, oh, look at this one new clip from Agent Carter. It's got Haley Atwell as well as her roommate, and this video clip totally passes the Bechdel test. I was like, oh, okay. I'll check it out. Yep. It's like two fully formed characters. I watched the clip. It did not in the least bit pass the Bechdel test. They started talking about guys like right away.
Yeah, like that.
They started talking about guys in a capacity of you need to define yourself by dating a guy. Specifically. Wow. And the roommate wasn't even a fully formed character. She was just someone who was a bouncing board for Haley Atwell's character to be defined more.
Right.
And I was like, why would you say this? It was a female writer who said this passes the Bechdel test. And I was like, do you even know what that is?
No, maybe not.
It was very frustrating. Sometimes HitFix is really just troll-baiting with their
comments. Was it Donna
Dickens? I think. Huh?
Was it Donna Dickens?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not a big fan of her writing in general, to be honest.
We should.
But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what else we got?
Archer is coming back January 8th. Now, I would not be excited about this because Archer last season was a real disappointment, but the trailers got me wanting to see it again. I'm ready. I'm ready for Archer.
I think maybe they've learned some of their lessons from last season. Yeah. I think they saw some of the negativity and what they missed
right.
the mark on. And hopefully they know that they can't just regurgitate jokes. They have to, you know, continue being original.
Right.
They have to go forward. I mean, I got out on Archer a little bit near the season before because it just all the repetitive jokes and you knew where everybody was going to go.
Right.
But they always have at least one or two lines, which is great.
There's always some funny, even the last season, which I was kind of disappointed in, had some funny stuff in it.
I'll give it another shot.
HBO has a new show coming up January 11th, Togetherness, which has the Duplass brothers.
Yeah.
And who's the girl on it?
It's, everybody knows her. Amanda,
Amanda Peet?
Yeah, Amanda Peet. Amanda Peet, yeah.
And it's about sort of, you know, couples and the difficulties of couplehood. It looks funny and uncomfortable in sort of an indie comedy way. I'm looking forward to it. The ads, the trailer has been really funny.
Duplass brothers are the mumblecore guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm really... Now my standard for stuff like this is going to be Married and You're the Worst.
Yeah.
So, because I think those two shows really did that kind of dysfunctional relationships really well.
I agree.
And so it looks like it's got the potential.
Yeah, that's where I am too. It's got potential.
I'll give it... And it's HBO. I give HBO everything at HBO. I give it a shot.
Yep. Then on... on January 14th, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is back.
Well, shit, Randy. That's all you had to say. That's all I need. I'm done with my calendar. It's all I want to watch.
I love the promos for this season. The Rocket promo.
Yeah. And I saw Daniel Feinberg tweet yesterday. He's like, I'm about to start watching the early, I guess, the screening he gets.
Yeah.
He's like, no Fat Mac. What's the point? I was like, I kind of feel him on that.
We all do.
By the way, kind of getting back to Togetherness, which was interesting, he actually put a tweet out, Feinberg, about the lack of diversity in those things in that comedy block for HBO.
And Greg shouted, that's what I've been saying about
her. No, he attacked it. He was like, same thing. I'm like, I know I'm not alone in this. Yeah. It's not crazy. Anyway, I'm sorry, but Feinberg is a little like he's a little more, I guess, snarkier than Alan.
Yeah.
So I like it because he seems to be more cynical about stuff.
Yeah.
Also paired with that on FXX, which is still a network apparently.
Yeah.
Man Seeking Woman.
Now the book is based off of. I didn't read. I don't even know what it was about.
Here's how it's described. Comedian Eric Andre and SNL writer Simon Rich stars Jay Baruchel, who I like.
I like him too.
As a 20-something on a quest for love who encounters one-night stands, painful breakups, a blind date with a troll, time travel, and sex aliens. None of that is in the trailer, but I'm like, if that's...
There's a Cupid that shoots him, so he's interacting with... It kind of reminded me of like Wonder Falls or... what was that? Yeah. yeah, Wonder Falls, I guess, yeah. where he's, she kind of interacts with like inanimate objects and they come to life around her.
Yeah.
Like that he's maybe a little bit crazy and kind of sees other yeah. things in there.
I'm curious. I mean, I like Jerry Baruchel, and if they're doing a weird sort of romance thing, I can see it, but I don't know. It didn't click with me immediately.
Well, it sounds kind of like that kind of hyper reality, like, what was the dog one? Wilford?
Wilford, yeah.
Yeah.
And which I'll give it a shot, and but I generally don't like stuff like this. But
I like him.
What?
I don't like him.
Really?
I liked him on Undeclared a little bit, but yeah. I liked everyone else around him more than him by far.
Yeah, that's true.
And ever since then, he seems to be a poor man's Michael Cera. Like, in that he just kind of acts awkward and uncomfortable about everything, and I'm like,
you know what he sold me, man?
He's the same person in everything.
Nah, well, he sold me in Tropic Thunder. I liked him in Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in Tropic Thunder.
I thought he was really, I know, as a guy.
Randy, I didn't even
know. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of
with Grant on this as I think about it. I like Jerry Baruchel, but it is all residual from Undeclared.
It's all because of who he's around.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He happens to be friends with a bunch of funnier people.
Yeah.
That's what I always think about the guy.
You know what?
Even in Knocked Up, he was the less funny one.
Yeah. This show.
Every man,
this is his chance.
This is his chance. Yep. This is his chance to see if it works.
He does not.
Nebbish, awkward.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. January 16th, Sci-Fi is premiering 12 Monkeys, based on the Terry Gilliam.
On our list.
And I really like the 12 Monkeys movie.
Now, I have not seen it since it came out.
Me
now,
neither.
I'm afraid to go back and look at it and say,
me too.
It's like. Am I remembering it better than it actually was?
Yeah.
So if I go back and watch him thinking this movie is really not that good.
I would imagine it's a lot slower than you remember.
Okay.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. So I'm in the
same boat, by the way. I'm afraid to go back to it because I liked it when
was that Fincher?
It was Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam did it.
But it had Bruce Willis,
had Brad Pitt in it.
Brad Pitt. They're both good.
And it was, I liked them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like one of those movies is kind of like, now is it good? Or is it just maybe because is it a movie of its time?
I feel like what was good about it was the revelation of Brad Pitt being a good actor. Because that was one of his first serious roles. And from there, he seemed to break out into all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, 12 Monkeys has like a warmer place in our heart. Because
exactly.
It's like this dystopian thing that like allowed him to be a badass.
Yeah.
But I bet if you go back and rewatch it, it's not going to be as good.
So if it's not as good, then the show being based on it.
I'll say this, though. The show, it's a good premise for a show. This whole a guy sent back in time to stop an apocalypse. You can definitely do a good serial drama. Now, whether or not Sci-Fi will do it, probably not. Sci-Fi shows, I tried watching that Ascension. I gave up 20 minutes into it.
Ascension
and I heard what the twist was, and I was like, oh, I'm so glad I quit.
Ascension
is the generation ship that was launched secretly in 1960. They were launched to another star.
Uh-huh.
And do you know the twist?
No. Go ahead. Spoil it. Hey, I could care less.
Jump ahead if you guys are going to watch us.
Yeah, spoiler.
Don't watch it. I'm going to warn you right now. Yeah. Okay, spoilers. the twist is it's not actually a generation ship. They've been on Earth this whole time, and it's a psychological experiment.
They're just trapped
in a big box. Yeah.
Okay. No.
And they've trapped like these families. Like they've been on their ship for like 70 years. They've had kids, and they've been living in this. They think they're on a spaceship.
That's so weird.
And I'm like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Especially nowadays. It just seems like...
No adventures out the ship.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird.
I thought that was really terrible.
The only show that I watched that I liked on it was I liked Alphas.
Yeah, Alphas was good.
Helix?
Helix.
Helix
we toggled a lot on.
We did. And Battlestar Galactica was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica had high production value and it was remarkably good. And they're resting on those laurels.
Yeah, that's what they're coasting on. The people hoping for the next Battlestar Galactica. They haven't done it yet. Maybe 12 Monkeys will be it.
Maybe.
I think it's probably going to be the next Helix.
Yeah.
On the next, and I'm a little disappointed they didn't wind up going with the original title, but The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore premieres on January 19th.
Do you know why they didn't?
Why?
Actually, and I actually just read this, it's because they're. Semi optioned.
What was it, by the way?
The Minority Report. But semi optioned the actual Tom Cruise movie. So they didn't want to get confused.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So
that's right. That actually, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. But The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore, I really like Larry Wilmore. And I think it's going to be. Do we have any black people running Last one
was Arsenio.
Arsenio just Arsenio.
So this is a potential game changer and an important thing, and Wilmore can definitely carry it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Wait, Wanda Sykes had...
She had one, too.
Yeah.
It's daytime, yeah.
And that's Magic Johnson had one for a long time. Yeah, yeah. Remember that? So Chevy Chase. That's Everybody's right. always tried Pat Sajak. They've all tried it. But as far as, like, keeping... And I don't even think it's necessarily just, like, a black-white thing.
No.
I just think it's, like, you either have to connect with your audience and have a good team and know what you're doing... And not just be like a personality, like somebody's like funny,
right?
You know, like,
well, it's actually not even a black white thing.
Yeah,
it's
that's just, what I'm saying.
It's a white male thing because there aren't any women, there aren't any people of any other. I mean, they're all white dudes.
I think for the
Chelsea Handler on Netflix now.
But in one way, this is one of those things that I think is not. I think that white dudes have had opportunities.
Yeah,
but I don't think it has to be. I think it is the way it is because. There aren't that many people that can relate. I mean, you know, it's like watching newscasters.
Yeah.
You got to really be able to relate to, and that person's got to really be able to relate to the audience. I mean, Craig Ferguson, some Scottish dude from, you know, from some Scottish guy from Scotland.
Yeah.
He was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And so he really, I mean, I loved watching his show or Letterman or whatever your personality was. And I think it's just difficult. Like Chelsea Handler, I could care less about her, who she sleeps with and her drinking. I don't care.
Right.
You know, Joan Rivers or whoever, or other people, you know, they put people on TV they think is funny and they're great, but they don't connect to the audience. So I think this guy should have a chance to because he's done it before.
Yeah.
But depending on who his, what the writing is and the team behind him. So.
Well, these guys have been pretty good at launching shows. Yeah. I mean, based on, you know, this, the Colbert Report. Right. This.
My hesitation was going to be this idea, like, I hope that. He doesn't feel beholden to this idea of trying to say I am the representative of the black
people. Yeah, and I don't think he will.
I hope he can just transcend that and just be a voice for a news.
I mean, W. Kamau Bell, who's got it. I don't know if his show's still on.
No, it's off.
Which was great.
I couldn't get into his show. I tried it and couldn't get into it.
I mean, I say that like, oh, he can't be kind of typecast and held to a gimmick.
Right.
But they sure made it work with Colbert.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's going to pretend to be some right-wing pulpit.
For a long time.
And they stuck with it. And they figured out a way to work it to have that appeal to an audience. So, actually, on both sides.
Which I think shows you how talented Colbert is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how long did that show run?
Nine years.
Yeah, to really take that joke and run it 9 years and still want and kind of leave at the top still. It shows you the testimony to him.
Larry Wilmore is a guy who every time, I've only seen him in little in bit parts on things and in small segments on The Daily Show, but every time I think he nails it. So I think he's got that potential.
I think so too because he's subtle. Like, like you could think of like Chris Rock is too much Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Paul Mooney's is insane. Who I would love to see.
Paul Mooney should be on the writing staff. That'd be amazing.
Oh, he should be.
But there's something classy, lovable, approachable, and yet sincere and cutting about the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
If he needs to, that like, okay.
Which
he's got those different.
Definitely rooting for him.
Yeah. He's got those different gears.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. So after that, a personal favorite of ours, Nat Geo has a show coming on.
Oh.
Hacking the System, February 19th.
Our
good friend Jason Murphy. And we are not just pumping this because we're friends with Jason Murphy. We all really liked that show.
No, it was funny.
Mainly because of Jason Murphy.
Well, I have to, I mean, it's kind of like the stunts you see in shows, and they're funny anyway. And there is a little extra, like, I'll never forget when Jason's trying to break the car windows.
Oh, yeah.
It cracked me up. Or the kicking the door in.
Yeah.
Because we know Jason, and... I don't know.
My favorite Jason moment is Jason having to act like he can't get his key, can't find his car.
Yeah,
that was my favorite.
Yeah, that was
the tree in the pole.
Yeah, that was funny. But even beyond that, it's still like it's good filler TV. I'd say sometimes, you know, like if you want to watch something, you've got half an hour to kill, and if you're scrolling through channels and you see this popping on, it's entertaining. You actually will learn something.
If you like MythBusters, you will like this show.
I mean, typically this wouldn't be a show I would watch.
No, me neither.
But I loved what they did with it. Yeah. I thought they were actually really good. I'm glad they have another chance, and yeah. I'm excited to see what they do more.
You know,
it was fun to watch.
You know who's excited to have this coming back? My 11-year-old daughter. She loved this show. Like, after the first two episodes, she didn't understand how pilots and all that stuff work. Yeah. So after those two episodes, she kept asking me, she's like, is there any more hacking the system? Is there any more hacking the system? Like, she's in. She's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think it's, I mean, really. I'm excited. Like, if you're on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And you happen to be home and you want to put something on and you're kind of like, okay, I'm waiting to put something on before we go to dinner.
Right.
This is like the perfect show for that. Yeah. And it can suck you in for like 2 or 3 episodes.
Because little bits and pieces, yeah.
Yeah. So go watch it.
It's really good. And I'm not just saying that because I'm friends with Jason Murphy. I really am looking forward to watching more of it.
Yeah.
Coming back for its final season, Justify, January 20th.
You guys excited?
Yes.
I'm excited, especially after that finale last season. Spoiler.
The finale.
That moment on the bridge.
Yes.
Where they set up the new status quo.
Yes.
I'm in.
It? I forgot.
It's basically Raylan versus Boyd with.
But she's turning on Boyd.
His wife with Boyd's wife caught in the middle.
She's turning on Boyd.
Yeah, turning on Boyd.
Turned on board. Now,
so she's essentially working undercover against
right. them. And then Justified, what they've been doing really good, like Facebook postings and social media where they're showing clips from the old shows or like your favorite moments.
Reminding you what you like about it.
It's like, I forgot how the show is awesome.
Yeah, I actually have seasons 2 through 4 sitting on Blu-ray on my shelf to be watched. And I may need to go through the marathon here soon and rewatch them.
And they're all on Amazon Prime.
They are all on Amazon Prime.
And when you watch the first episode, it's awesome because it really lays out the whole series.
Yeah.
I mean, from Tim and the other FBI agent.
Rachel.
To the boy, to just almost everybody.
Yeah.
And everything is mentioned to just the way it opens, which is one of the best opening scenes of a show ever.
Yeah.
Him in Miami.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad they're ending it. I do think they were running out of gas a little bit.
Right.
But I'm very excited for the final season.
Me too.
You guys want to go ahead and take a quick
break? Yeah, let's take a break. We've been talking a long time.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with the second half.
So after the break, one quick, I missed one that Greg pointed out. There's a show called Empire coming out on January 7th on Fox.
Yeah, they've been bombastic with their advertisements for
it. It's a mid-season. It's got Terrence Howard. It's about a hip-hop empire. I'm not planning on watching it.
And then like his wife, who was in jail, comes out of jail, Taraji Henson plays her. And it just looks like kind of like Shonda Rhimes type stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me.
I'm happy to see minority representation on television. It's great. This is generally not like my stuff because like I was saying off air, there's a show on Stars that was by 50 Cent that kind of had like the mogul, the basically like the mafia family done with African Americans. And this seems kind of has that kind of on it, but
there's something about like how that the trailers are cut together.
Yeah, it's just
it reminds me of like when Soderbergh made Ocean's 11.
Yeah,
but how he was doing this sort of slick cool thing as a wink and a nod to how they always have people walking toward the camera.
Right. Yeah.
And it seems like they're doing that same thing as an emulation, but without the wink and the nod and the humor to it.
Yeah. Right?
So it just seems like I can't take it seriously.
I'll probably give it a shot because there's something about some Fox, and I'll even extrapolate it to FX and FXX. What they like sometimes their shows, they have really bad advertising that are really good shows. Like your favorite show ever,
Terriers,
had terrible advertising, but
Drink,
it was a great
show. I mentioned Terriers,
right? So, or like even like Tyrant, which actually got really good at the end, or even the show they canceled, the gang related, which actually got good at the end too.
Yeah,
they do these things where. They come up with a concept, they get the concept together, and then it's like, okay, we'll worry about the plot and the characters later.
Yeah.
And then
that should be secondary.
which is never a good plan because you need to come out really good, and then you have a chance to have the audience.
You need to earn that goodwill right out the gate.
Yeah. And they
or else
don't,
it's an uphill climb, and you lose half your audience.
And Terrence Howard isn't necessarily goodwill because he's been known as a difficult guy person.
Exactly.
So
like him and Michael Pitt should be in the movie together.
For like two episodes before they kill each other.
Right. Literally.
Kill each other and then quit. And
so I don't know. So, I'll watch it so you don't have to.
Let us know if it's great and we should check it out.
Yeah.
And I won't be planning on that.
Yeah.
But what I am looking forward to is the return of the Flash.
Yes.
January 20th, the Flash comes back and we know they've set up Firestorm. They've set up Reverse Flash. And they've set up Grodd.
You know,
I'm sorry. This is a silly question, but when did it go off the air? Like, for their break?
2 weeks ago.
Wow. So that's a quick break.
Yeah.
It's a quick break.
The same as like Walking Dead and Arrow.
No, but Walking Dead's breaks are pretty long.
Actually, this time it's not too bad. They're coming back in February.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, this is a bit quicker turnaround.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they still got another almost month.
They got about 6 or 8 weeks off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not too bad, but I love the Flash. We talked a lot about it last time, so I won't go too much into it, but I am so excited to see what the back half of this season looks like. Cause they've established a lot of what I was like, okay, this is the season long arc of who Wells is and who the Reverse Flash. I'm like, they've got to that. I'm like, now what do they do? What are
they doing? Dennis McElwain's question from our listener question segment.
Yes.
This is a show I'm most looking forward to.
Me too.
Returning. And that's, I might have said maybe Walking Dead before, but it's like, it's still, I don't know where they're going to pick up. I don't know where they go from the ending there.
Yep.
And I've been burned a lot of times, so I'm kind of, I'll watch it each time be a little bit apprehensive.
Right.
But here, they've earned my trust.
I have utter faith in this creative team.
And they're still in their freshman season doing new exciting things. I'm just like, I'm so on board. Grodd?
Yeah.
We're going to see Grodd.
We're going to see Grodd. I am almost sure of it. You know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and I kept talking TV, and I kept saying various shows I was recommending to them, and they were casual viewers. They hadn't seen a lot of them. And I kept saying, season two is where it gets really good. And they sort of, at some point, they said, like, oh, season two is where it really gets really good. They were like, I noticed that was a pattern.
Uh-huh.
Like, I never noticed it, but that is a pattern. Like, season two is where a show gets good. Flash is great right out of the gate.
Friday Night Lights season two is where the show gets bad.
Okay.
But I agree with you.
Yeah.
The Flash starts, I mean, how appropriate, right?
Yeah.
Flash,
right out of the gate.
Right out of the pan.
The next night, January 21st, the Arrow will be back. And I guess spoilers, I guess Arrow's dead. So that's kind of a weird way to take the show. He's just dead now. He's gone.
I don't know what they're going to do now.
So that's kind of weird. I guess he's gone forever. And I guess the show's going to be about somebody else. It's weird.
If only they could resurrect him somehow.
Yeah, if there was some way, if there was some kind of like Lazarus himself, if there was like, if he came back. Yeah. Yeah. But there's not. So he's dead. But I bet that when we come back, we will probably see a city without Ollie, that we'll see the Atom and Red Arrow out protecting the city and Black Canary. And they'll probably jump forward in time a bit. I'm curious to see where they go. I have not loved the season of Arrow. Like, I thought season two was stronger than season three, but there's a lot I like about it.
I can't seem to get into it.
I like it, but it's not, I mean, it's not as good as The Flash.
Yeah.
So then on January 22nd, Fox is premiering another comedy that looks like what should have been an NBC comedy, really. It's Backstrom with Rainn Wilson.
I feel like maybe it was? No. We had someone write an article on our site, actually, about this show.
Yeah.
It might be confusing. I thought this was one that like it was.
It might have been because it feels like an NBC show.
I think they recut it. They recut the trailer.
But he's like a detective who's got like Asperger's-y type thing.
Rainn Wilson playing House basically as a detective. He's he's an asshole, but damn it, he's good at his job.
I'm curious because I like Rainn Wilson, but I don't have a lot of love for this one.
I'm interested.
Yeah,
I'm actually really really interested. I want to see if he. I mean. I loved him, his serious take in Super, and I loved him on Six Feet Under.
I like him.
I think that he has a lot to offer, and he can move away from the Dwight character. And
I'm just not sure if this is the best vehicle for him. We'll have to see.
And Dennis Haysbert's in this, too. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm just reading the list of who's starring in it.
January 28th, The American Season 3.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like I said at the beginning of this episode, I was watching Sons of Anarchy.
Yep.
And they kept putting ads in for Americans.
Yep.
Mm. And I kept going, I wish I was watching that show instead.
See, I thought you'd gone off The Americans a little bit.
In the middle, I remember, because in the middle it did get a little weird.
The end, and I went, ah.
Yeah.
I love this show. The middle did get a little strange or get a little lost a little bit. But because, you know, I was in, like you, Randy, I was so into the show, I let it go.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, the pacing, it just slowed a little, got a little meandering, and just dwelled a little more on the motion stuff. But I found I love their advertisements.
Yeah.
Even more so than the show. I love how they advertise that show.
I love this show. I've loved it since season one. I thought season two was better than season one.
Me too.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they go with season three.
It's a visceral. I mean, it hits, I think, especially for me and Randy, because of growing up
in
that
the
80s.
Yeah.
And just knowing what the Cold War felt like.
Yeah.
And just and they get all the little 80s things 100% correct.
Without it feeling like parody.
Right.
Yeah, it feels real. Oh, man. I am so excited to have The Americans back. More so than Justified, honestly. I like Justified, and I love Justified. And I love Elmore Leonard. But I think if I had to choose one, I'd choose The Americans.
Wow.
I put it higher on my top 10 list than Justified last year. So
then we get into February. And there's a few.
Oh yeah.
February 8th, Better Call Saul premieres. I'm really worried about this.
So mixed bag.
The trailers have been okay.
Okay.
Does it have the potential to hurt Breaking Bad?
No.
That's what I think.
I don't think so.
But you don't love Breaking Bad as much as Grant and I do. I have the same worry, Greg. What if it taints the legacy?
But why would it taint it? Because it's not like they're going to have a bunch of... I mean, they're not going to have like... there might be a couple guest spots.
Remember
for
Joey?
No, because I hated both of them. So
how it affected Friends. I always felt Joey, that show, like just brought Friends down.
I don't know because it depends on how connected... I mean, they're not going to have the main characters from Breaking Bad on there, except
that they have Mike and they have Saul. And if they make those characters unlikable in this show, or like we just get bored of them, it means when we watch Breaking Bad again, we're gonna be like, ah, Saul.
Well, no, then it's
at
just
at some point I guarantee you're gonna see
you have to see Jesse
walk around in the background.
And Jesse and Aaron.
That's my thing. Aaron is Paul. I like don't muck around. Don't prequel this up.
I mean, I would like to think that Gilligan has some degree of oversight in this. And so he'll be like, don't try and make it too nyuk-nyuk comedy. I know that Odenkirk was that anchor for the show as comic relief.
Yeah, sure.
But now he needs to be a different kind of anchor on the show. I mean, obviously what they're doing, they're trying to do a evolution of his character as well.
Yeah.
From going from a bright-eyed lawyer who wanted to do good to how he became a schmuck in the underbelly of Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well, here's the silver lining of this dark cloud looming over us.
Mm-hmm.
What if it happens to be great? It's got good creators. It's got good cast. The bones are there for it to be a great show.
Yeah.
And we're not expecting it to be, so our expectations aren't super high. So it's possible this might come out and we'll be like, oh, I can't believe we weren't excited about Better Call Saul. It's one of my best shows of 2015.
Right.
It goes in that same Agent Carter thing for me.
Yeah.
It's like this prequel that I'm not sure I really want.
I don't expect to be saying that sentence in 2015, by the way, that this was one of the best shows.
Yeah. That would be weird.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean,
But I'm curious.
We'll give it a shot. I mean, the way 2014 started last year, it just... I'm willing to give some of these ideas more of the benefit of the shot,
sure,
and being pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Well, 2014 was a great year for TV, so yeah, hopefully 2015 isn't a disappointment.
Well, what they were saying is funny because right when we were discussing this, they Sepinwall put out this thing about what they're anticipating, and he's saying it's actually going to be crazier.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I mean, well, yeah, it makes sense. There's a lot of TV coming on.
Yeah, and a lot of networks. Different areas too.
The Walking Dead season 5.2 starts on February 8th.
Yeah.
Now Walking Dead is going to give Better Call Saul a big bump.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's true. It'll
kick it off nicely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've been looking forward to The Walking Dead coming back ever.
Yeah.
It's always I guess I'll watch it, but I'm actually looking forward to
it. Me too. I want to see where they take it.
Yeah, me too. This season has been good. I feel like they finally got their legs underneath them. So then on February 8th also, so that Sunday is going to be great.
Yeah.
Last Week with John Oliver starts.
Mm-hmm.
Need you, John Oliver. We need
yes.
you.
Yes, John Oliver, I hate to say it. You should just never take any time off.
No, never take time off.
That and supposedly his New Year's thing, which you guys might have already seen.
Right.
Yes, since we're broadcasting from the past.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. also that night, HBO's attempt to tie in with Serial, which they were working on before, but The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, which is a true crime documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Robert Durst of Limp Bizkit?
Oh, weird. Huh.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Same, yeah.
But they're definitely pitching this like Serial. This is a true crime, did
even
he do it?
Music.
Yeah.
Ding, yeah.
Ding. Ding, yeah, ding, ding. This is definitely their attempt to get that. And the question is, can you replicate it on the TV? Can HBO's documentaries be as interesting? We'll see.
HBO, their docs or whatever they put on, are generally awesome.
Yeah.
If you can capture what Serial did, I'm all for it. I'm excited.
And we'll talk about Serial on some, even though Serial is not TV, it seems like it's become a TV thing. Yeah, we'll talk about it on some show. Week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Finally, two March shows. Last Man on Earth by Fox, which is Will Forte, starring as the last man on Earth, and Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, the guys who did the Lego Movie, 21 Jump Street.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Mm-hmm. They're the guys behind this.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, you're like, how is this going to work? He's the last guy on Earth. Will Forte is great, but he's acting against himself this whole time. But they're going to do flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's where they're going to do the fun stuff, and then they'll show him having fun. I sort of get the sense of how it's going to work now, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, I keep seeing these little teaser trailers for it, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. The teasers have been great. The one where he goes and sings in the stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, a show that was actually teased at the upfronts last year, American Crime on ABC.
Yeah.
It's an anthology crime series, not the true crime series that Murphy's doing. That's a different one.
Mm-hmm.
But this is John Ridley, filmmaker John Ridley, and includes Felicity Huffman and Timothy Hutton in it. Premieres on March 5th. I love crime shows. I'm interested in the anthology, and Ridley certainly got the talent. I'm very curious about
this one.
And
I like Timothy Hutton.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, because even in those silly TNT shirt,
Leverage.
TBS Leverage.
He was good on Leverage.
He was really good. Yeah. He's one of those guys that, like, he has this weird career where, like, he won an Oscar very young because he was great in Ordinary People.
Yeah.
Great, great. And then he kind of just disappears.
Yeah.
And he was also great in Taps, too. Like, he was, like, doing these like, that meteoric, like, talent rising. And then
he just, vanished.
And then in the late 80s, he just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then he would end up doing things here and there, and then he kind of had this resurgent, like, I don't know, like, maybe he had to pay...
As an older guy.
Yeah, maybe he had to pay college for his kids or something like that, you know?
Well, he was in Kidnapped, that one season show that Jeremy Sisto and Joe Orlando, he was great.
Yeah, I loved... That show was good.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a really good show, and it's on Netflix, I think, or might not be anymore.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, so that's and then there's also, we got no specific dates, but there's stuff coming on the internet. You know, Community season 6 going to be on Yahoo. Orange is the New Black going to be on Netflix. Daredevil, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage.
Do we know when Daredevil is? They still haven't set a premiere date, right?
It's going to be. I just saw. Hold on. I just saw.
May 2015.
Yeah.
Yay.
So
well, are we doing?
That's still a ways away.
That's a ways away.
And
we'll be coming back to that.
Yeah, and then we're. I mean, if we're doing returning and we're missing two of the big ones,
which is
Mad Men and Game of Thrones.
I don't know that we have a date on either one.
I don't think we do. Mad Men should be coming back in April, right? I mean, not Mad Men, but
It's not. They do not have a date.
They don't have a date for Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is probably going to be sometime April, in March, but March, I think April. They usually announce mid January.
Yeah,
yeah. They do not have a date.
And they do this. They're doing this really great little social media campaign. Yeah, I signed up for it where they tweeted, direct tweeted you like the little thing with the raven. It was actually, it's pretty damn cool. I'm sorry. It's really, really,
yeah,
really
cool.
Yeah,
and there's a whole story, maybe a whole episode to be done on the sophomore season since a lot of stuff premiered this year that we loved.
Yeah.
Next year is the season twos. Mm-hmm. Chances of
Fargo.
Of failing, fall, yeah. Bunches of Fargo,
crime,
True Detective, Transparent.
True Detective.
You're the Worst, Silicon Valley, Leftovers, Rick and Morty. All kinds of sophomore seasons, but that's another show.
Right.
This is looking forward to the first quarter of 2015.
We'll have to address that in a future episode. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yep.
But guys, mark your calendars. Let us know what you guys are thinking about watching this upcoming season, especially this upcoming month.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, Grant.
God.
Thank you, Randy.
That's
thank
script.
You, Greg.
All right, guys. Till next week.
TV Dudes out. Hey, we're coming out, dancing downtown, free like whatever we dream about, and we're moving through the night, cruise across town, lost in the endless sound, and the city's alright, but the streets are all the same, and you know deep down you can find a better way, tired of feeling bad, so don't you wonder why you keep telling yourself it's alright, when the stars are shining on you, when the street lights are far beyond you, when the dream lights are turning on, then you know where you are. When the stars are shining brighter, when your heart is beating lighter, when you love without desire, then you know who you are. The stars